Praise the Lord. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I'm telling you, I'm excited. I do want to take a moment just here right off the top of the service because I know that we do have visiting guests here with us this morning. Well, I just want to introduce myself. I'm Pastor Brad. I am the associate pastor here. Pastor Tim Stallman is our senior pastor. And he couldn't be here today, so he has asked me to step in his place and be able to minister, which is an honor for me. I'm absolutely honored to be able to do that when he calls upon me, so that's exciting for me. But I just encourage you that Pastor Tim is the man that's anointed and appointed as pastor of this church, and I just invite you, if you are visiting, he would want to meet you. Please come on back and meet Pastor Tim and get to see him. And that would mean a lot to him. So I invite you, you know, please come on back again. It was good to have you here with us today and to meet you. But Pastor would certainly want to meet you here as well. So praise the Lord. Well, I got some things out of my heart this morning. I trust and believe that you're hungry for them because that'll help me out. Amen. We all have our part to play. We all have to get engaged and bring our supply. You know, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. Amen. And your walking out in faith to grab hold of your answers is how you get them. See, faith is the currency of heaven. You can't be saved apart from faith. By grace, you are saved through faith. Well, faith is the currency to everything that you need. Why? Because everything has already been established through Jesus Christ. Your healing, your prosperity, your joy, your peace, your love, everything has been deposited on the spirit on the inside of you, and it's drawn out by faith. Amen. Jesus already has done everything that he's going to do. It's our responsibility to go before him by faith and grab hold of salvation, grab hold of healing, grab hold of that joy. We know some of those things are fruits in our spirit, but it's by faith that we step out and draw those things out. Amen. So that's going to require our participation. Amen. I wish that all the promises of God, you know, we could just sit there and they would, like Brother Hagin says, fall on you like ripe cherries. Hey, I don't want to do anything. I just want to sit there and just get blessed. I just want bags of money to, you know, fall on my doorstep. I want healing to just come upon me. And hey, it can in certain services and in the right conditions. I'm not, you know, diminishing that. But how many know that it's going to require our responsibility to grab hold of everything that he wants for us to have? He's already established those things, so we have responsibility on our part. And I want to talk to you about some certain things. I just to encourage you here today. Of course, when I minister, you all can just, you know, I just minister to myself. Y'all just sit there and, you know, smile and amen would be good and stuff like that. But I'll just preach to myself because whenever the Lord gives me a word, hey, this hits home to me and it's a blessing to me. But I want to talk to you today about being set apart. Set apart. And if you do have your Bibles, a good starting place would be over there in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. I want to share with you a couple verses here. 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. And we're going to start over there in verse 19. And it goes on to say, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yea and nay, or yes and no, but in him, in Jesus, was yes." He says, "For all the promises of God in Jesus are yes, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us." Another rendering of that verse, you could say, "For the promises of God in him are yes and amen unto the glory of God through us." It'd be the same rendering, by us or through us. So he says that all the promises of God are yes and amen through you. Through you. They've already been established, and all the promises are already established in God's mind as yes, and to your amen, I believe it, or so be it. There's a yes attached to his promises. Yes, through you. Through you. One minister said one time that it seems like God can do nothing on earth apart from man. Rightfully so. Well, God is God. God can do anything. No, he can't. No, he cannot do anything, because if he could do anything, everybody would be born again and we'd be off this rock right now. Amen. He can't override human will. He can't make you, you know, walk in love. He can't keep you from cock-blocking the dude in front of you at the checkout line. He can't make you hold your peace and patience. Hey, we've all been there. He can't keep your finger down when someone cuts you off in traffic. Come on now. He can't make you do that. Like, well, God's sovereign. He can do whatever he wants. No, he can't. He established one thing. He established his son dying on the cross, establishing promises that he's in expectation of you to carry out. I've got everything done on my side, God says. I just need somebody that is willing to move these promises here on earth. They're already yes and amen. Am I healed? Yes. Are you prosperous? Yes. Am I provided for? Yes. Do I walk in peace? Yes. All these things are yes through you. There's something that needs to be done on our behalf to establish the yes and the amen here in this earth. So he goes on to say those things. Turn with me, if you will, to John 17:14. Jesus is praying for the disciples, and I want to show you what exactly it is that I'm talking about. And I love preaching along these lines, because just like me, no one wants the responsibility. You know what I mean? Like everybody, hey, I want the blessings of God, but if it's got to cost me something, dear Lord, I don't think I really want it that bad, because now there's cost attached to it. Jesus had to go through the cross, was killed on the cross, buried and resurrected. You think he wanted to do that? Father, take this cup from me. I don't want to do this. He says, nevertheless, not my will, your will be done. Same thing, whatever you're dealing with, it's on the other side of you stepping into the promise and not bending or breaking under the circumstance to establish the reality or manifest that promise here on earth. Whatever it is you're believing God for. And I'll tell you what, human nature, I'm going to size up this battle. I'm going to choose my battles. I don't know if I really want to work, you know, and you'll see people that are on the brink's edge. I just rather die sometimes. You see that. You see that in people. It's like you gave up on faith. You know, Jesus, when they got in the boat and there was storm of hurricane proportions in them, he said, where's your faith? And he calmed the waters. He said, peace, be still. It's like, you know, they were dumbfounded, but he's like, this was not exempt from you having the capabilities of doing the same thing that I just did to calm these waters. But people see the storm. They're like, you know what? I'd rather take the defeat. I don't want to fight this fight. And we have to have the grit and the boldness and the stamina to stand up and say, you know what? He established his promises here on earth, and I'm going to enforce as an ambassador his promises. So if something's going to die in the meantime, it's going to be that and not me, because I'm standing my position right now till I see change in this earth. You have to have a grit and a boldness that it's like, hey, no. Well, let God be God. Okay, well, then waddle in your mess and show the world your defeat because you didn't want to fight. Hey, I'm in the same boat. I'm telling you, I fight battles just like y'all. We all go through different things. We all go through different trials and stuff like that. But I'm telling you, you are different. So Jesus is praying here to the Father. This is a prayer for his disciples in John 17:14. Listen to what he has to say. He says, John 17:14, he says, I have given them, the disciples, your word. And the world's hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but thou should keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is the truth. As thou hast sent me into this world, even so have I sent them into this world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they may also be sanctified through the truth. He says, I've given them thy word, and you know what's happened? The world hates them. How are we any different? We have the greater one on the inside. They weren't born again at this point, but Jesus says, he says this thing. He says, Father, I've given them the word. In other words, Jesus being the living word, I came down from heaven to earth, and I showed them what this kingdom looks like, your kingdom on this earth. And you know what? The world hates them. Well, thanks a lot, Jesus. Thanks a lot, Jesus. Like I'm not dealing with enough. Now I got the world hating me. That's what he says. But you know what he said? He didn't leave them in the position of hatred from the world. He said, Father, sanctify them. Don't leave me in the position of hate. I know what hate's like. Show me what I can walk into so I don't have to 24/7 undergo the bombardment of pressure of the hate that I see everywhere I look in this world. So he says, sanctify them. You know what that word sanctify means? Make holy, purify, consecrate, set apart, or separate unto. He says the world hates them. Father, make them holy. Set them apart that they have the decision or the choice to walk above or apart from hate. That the darts of sickness, disease, hate, slander, maliciousness, lust on a daily basis, shield them somehow from that. Because these are your people. Sanctify them. Set them apart so that they walk in nothing but your love, victory, peace, joy, provision, healing. Sanctify them. Mark them to the point that they don't have to succumb to the pressures of this world. He says, sanctify them, separate, and you have to separate unto something. That's where the work comes in for the Christian. It's a constant renewing of our mind to understand what you've been separated unto. And you need to separate unto something, because if you don't separate unto the word that God used to sanctify them to escape the hate, then you're going to go back to some other arm of the flesh that's going to create some kind of temporary comfort. Separate unto the divine that's bestilled on the inside of you, because that's where the true power is, where you can walk above as Jesus did here on this earth. He's praying for his disciples. Father, I gave him the word. You know what happened? Hate. The world hates them. The world, as soon as I gave them your word, resistance. They've been combated. They're up against the storm of the waves crashing against them, trying to gain ground. Separate them, sanctify them, set them apart, make them purified, holy, work and move through them in this earth that they can rise above and be set apart. This is our responsibility to do those things. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I want to show you something here. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to start over there in the 14th verse. Because we have a responsibility here. Jesus says they got to be separated. And some of the things that have been plaguing the church even now is we've, as a church, not saying this church, not saying that there's not other good churches in the area, but I'm saying the church at large has tried to obscure that separating line that actually makes a Christian a Christian. They forgot the sanctification process that, hey, I've been separated from the things of this world to walk in the power and might of the Spirit, the greater one on the inside of me, that what is my lot is, what is their lot is not my lot. And the things that I walk in, if they are not born again, I'm separated from the results that they may have to overcome. Not that they're bad people, not that they're not good moral people, but I'm telling you that if you are born again, child of God, you are different than this world, and you are purified and made holy. Well, I don't feel holy. My week hasn't been holy. My month hasn't been holy. I haven't walked this whole year as one that reflects the holiness of God. That doesn't matter. What needs to matter is that you need to repent, change your mind and your way of thinking, and realize because of what God did, I'm separated from the things of this world, and I don't have to walk in line with those things. And it's not to condemn you. It's simply to say, hey, the whole hand and everything is dealt to this world. You don't have to deal with those things because you've been separated. He orchestrated this, not me. He orchestrated the word of God not me. Father, based on your integrity and character of what you've said, I've chose to believe you. Therefore, whatever symptom, sickness, disease, sin, temptation that tries to come against me, you take that up with him. You're the one that sanctified me according to your word. I'll position myself on the side of your word. Devil, if you got a problem with that, you take that up with him. He's the one that's backing. He's the one that sanctified me by his word. So I'm taking the word and I'm going to my trial and I say in sickness, disease, you have to leave in Jesus' name based on the word of God. Sickness, disease, you got a problem with that, you take that up with him. That's the authority that he's given me. He put that in place through Jesus Christ. Poverty and lack. You come against me, you're trying to tell me that I can't pay my bills, that I don't know where my next meal comes from. He says that he'll meet and supply all my needs. Poverty, lack, you got a problem with that? You take that up with him. I'm separated from the hand that you're trying to deal me, and I will not eat that thing. You gotta posture yourself and man up to some things, and we're gonna talk about this. Because there has to be a separation from the church. If I look at you and I look at a nightclub, would I be able to tell there's a difference? By the way you talk, by the way you act, by the way you look, is there a difference? There needs to be a difference because you've been sanctified. According to the holy God, you've been made a holy vessel, purified, set apart for him. If you choose not to walk into that, it's a black eye for the body of Christ. Jesus is the head, we're the body. He can do nothing by himself, just the head being there. He's dependent on you stepping in that rightful place of sanctification so that he gets a good testimony and that we can win people to the Lord. But if you're bellying up to the bar and throwing down shots with them, it's hard for you to say, yeah, I'm sanctified. Yeah, hey, you're dealing with stuff, deal with stuff. But I'm saying, understand the true you in the eyes of God is sanctified. And he will deal with you based on the sanctification. As far as he's concerned, that sin that you're dealing with, that trial you're dealing with, it's already been dealt with. He dealt with that through Jesus. So when he views you as righteous, sanctified, an overcomer. He views you nothing than other those things. So when you decide to, you know, go do your own thing and entangle yourself with those things, he's like, why would they do that? Don't they know that they've been separated? Don't they know they don't have to deal with those things in the world like the heathen do? Those people that haven't been sanctified? There should be a difference. And the church has obscured the lines of where that is. I said it last night. I ministered in Erie. There was an article. I think it was in last week's paper. I think it's in Nashville. They have a Christian nightclub. Okay. Yep, we're going to play Christian music. We're going to have the smoke machines, the lights and all that. But no twerking. No dressing promiscuous. No twerking. Don't be putting your stuff on other people. Yeah, put them in that. Let's be the world. Might as well go to a bar and start throwing down shots. Hey, I was drunk. I don't know what I did. I got an alibi. They've obscured the line of sanctification. It's like you guys are sanctified. Why are you acting like the world? God's not going to deal with you based on the world. He's going to deal with you in who he made you to be. Reverend Justin, I talk to you as a man because you were made a man. I'm going to talk to you as a man, not as a woman, because that's what you are. Yes, thank you, because I know this world has gotten some things confused. This isn't going to be a politically correct message here today. But I will talk to you as a man, not as a woman. I won't talk to you as a kid because you're a full-grown adult. God, in like manner, he talks to you based on what Jesus has done. I'm talking to you concerning my word and my promise because you've been sanctified. I will address you in the manner that you've been made, sanctified, set apart, holy, healthy, joyous, peaceful, without anxiety, without worry. I will dress you according to what my son Jesus did on the cross. Fully redeemed as the righteousness of God, wholly purified and set apart. I will address you in that manner. because that's who you are. When you begin to act like the world, I question the integrity that you view my son as, because he paid the price to separate you. So when you take upon yourself that living, it's a contradiction and a disgrace to the price that was set before you. Decide to sanctify yourself and walk in the new creation and creature that I've made you through my son, Jesus Christ. That's how I will address you. I will address you as the one that I've seated, raised and seated at the right hand with Jesus Christ. And I've exalted you in that position. I will deal with you according to that position. You see what I'm saying? You've been sanctified. Well, man, I'm just trying to suck air and get through another day. Well, yeah, you got trials in the light of being sanctified. Yeah, I'm going through this, but you know what? I'm sanctified. I'm set apart, and there needs to be the difference. He says in verse 14, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion has light with darkness? What concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believeth with an infidel? Nothing. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temples of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Verse 17 says, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." He says, you need to come out from among them and be ye separate. Be ye sanctified. What light does Christ have with the devil? Nothing. There's no correspondence there. There's no similarities in that. What is, you know, the temple of idols have to do with the temple of light? Nothing. They're contrary one to the other. He says, don't yoke yourself with unbelievers. Why? Because you're saved, born again. You've been sanctified and set apart. Why would you join yourself to that? He's like, you need to separate a dividing line because you are different. You are separated. I'm telling you what, the whole world's going to have to deal with stuff. Not you. You've been separated from it. I'm not saying you're not going to go through tests and trials and things, but that shouldn't be your demise. I'm telling you what, 1,000 may fall at your right, at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Why? Because you've been separated. Everybody else is biting their nails, worrying up all night because of the economy, because of inflation, because of job layoffs. Rightfully so. Not you. You're different. You're separated from that. God views you in light of who he is to you, which is your father, God, in this family, because he says sons and daughters. There's a difference. And this rocks people's theology. I've said it here before. Concerning this world, if you are born again, are you better than the world out there that doesn't have Jesus? Absolutely. Are you better than the people out there? Yes, I am. Yes, I am. God does not love them more than he loves me. He gave Jesus to die for them as much as he died for me. But because of the family that I'm in, I've got rights and privileges that they do not have, making me better. That's the structure that God said, hey, you accept me, I will be a father unto you. I will make my abode with you. I will come and camp out. I will separate you from the things of this world. So that's why I say, all hell can go crashing on out there. That's not my lot. My lot is what I'm separated unto his family. So yes, I am better than the heathen out there. Hey, accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Come and be a part of his family and you'll be in the same boat I am. Here's $1,000,000. Why wouldn't you take it? Not to compare spiritual things with money or anything like that, but I'm saying Jesus saved you and paid the ultimate price so that you can walk in health, you can walk in clarity of your mind, that you could be born again and spend eternity with him. Oh no, I'm good. Well, you're not thinking right. On the other side of it too, it's like, yeah, I'm going through, you know, nothing but trial after trial after trial. Well, get on board. Because your heavenly father won't put up with that stuff tormenting you like that. Because of the family, he gave you Jesus so you didn't have to walk through the depths of that hell. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not trying to be yoked together so I could be somehow relevant to this world. I'm not yoking myself with unbelievers. there needs to be a decision to cross a line in a Christian's life where it says, hey, I'm going on with God. These things are going to have to fall behind. If anybody's got an issue with that, hey, you deal with that and the consequences of that. I'm moving on with the things of God. And there needs to be a division there, not one foot in, one foot out. That's why God's like, I spew those people out of my mouth that are lukewarm. I spew them out of my mouth that, hey, they're living one way, talking one way. They go to church on Sundays, but they're living completely different through the week. Why? Because they're not walking according to sanctification. So we have to have an understanding of these things. And I'm gonna show you one thing here, and this is not going to be politically correct, but we want to take a look at that over in 2 Peter chapter 1, something that's going to help and aid us to embrace the separation. And you can understand that the boldness, you know, sometimes when I minister, we all have different ways that we minister through our personalities. And I'm not normally a combative, you know, person by nature. But when the boldness comes on, that's exactly what we need, because this world is ruthless. This world hates you, hates Jesus on the inside of you, is anti-Christ, and is not getting any easier as the day of the Lord approaches. And so there's a greater level of responsibility for us to sanctify ourselves according to what we've been giving and start establishing the promises of God here on earth. And that's going to take something. And it's going to take boldness. It's going to take that courage. And I want to show you some things here over there in 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3. And it says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. I like that. He's given you all things pertaining to life and godliness. Everything physically, naturally in this life and spiritually, he's already given you all things. If he's given you all things, we're not waiting on something. Sure. There are things that God has a timing for in future events and different things. We see some of those things. We know that there is due season concerning some things in our life, but it's not based on what he already did through Jesus. All those things have already been established. Sometimes the working of our faith to bring about the manifestation of those promises takes some time. It takes our participation in doing that. But it says here that he's given you all things pertaining to this life and to godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Verse 4 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Yes, that's right. Great and precious promises. We know that. That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So he's given us a divine nature on the inside of us that we can escape the corruption that's in this world through lust. Lust is a craving, a hankering, a wanting of natural things. Lust is something that you can feed and feed and feed and feed and feed, and it'll never be quenched. It's like throwing wood into a fire. Whatever it is that you're, that lust that tries to come and grab a hold, that it's unquenchable. I try to get it out of my mind. I'm trying to break free from these things, but it'll just keep taking it. It'll just keep taking those logs on the fire. That's the way lust works and the corruption in this world. But he says, I've given you great and exceeding promises that you can get out of the corruption that's in this world through lust. The lust of money, the lust of things, the lust of people, the lust of power that this world craves, the lust to be better than the next guy, the lust of whatever it may be. What is it, Father, that you've given? Okay, it goes on to say, verse 5, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, and patience godliness. We talked about patience and endurance last week. And to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity or love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make it that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to stop right there because we're going to look at these. We're not going to take the time to go through all of these, even though that would be good. But right there, he's saying, given all diligence. Hey, if you're going to give an effort and you're going to give diligence and exert some things, giving all diligence, he says, add to your faith virtue. Virtue. That's an interesting word. And here's where it's not, you know, I'm going to step over the politically correct in today's day and age line right now. Sure, that word virtue, it means excellence. You could say, yeah, virtuous, like a virtuous woman we read about in Proverbs and different things, of good character, of good rapport, of good integrity. Virtue means excellence. But you know what that word virtue means if you were to look it up in the Greek? Manliness. 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 It's time that the body of Christ man up. It's time for the body of Christ to man up. If you were to have a rendering of what that word manliness means, being brave or strong. There was a point in this nation where being a man says that I'm willing to put boots to the ground to defend this nation. I have strength, I have courage, I have honor, I have integrity, and I will put boots to the ground, come hell or high water, to establish the freedoms that we have in this nation. And there's the same thing because the compromise has been so great in today's day and age to try to get into the church to make us realize that we're weaklings and nobody, not knowing that we've been separated. And he says, add to your faith virtue. You need to man up. You thought this was going to be cakewalk and that you were going to have to ever deal with anything in this earth. When Jesus prayed for the disciples, I've given you word, you know what? They hate you. Accept the fact that this world hates you because it hated the one that is alive on the inside of you. And he says, add to your faith virtue. It's time to man up. And this is the same thing with me. It's time to take the word of God and start changing things here on earth. It's time to start being the true representation of the sanctified body of Christ that we can be an example of stability in this crumbling world. Someone's got to do it. And if you cave and aren't manning up about your position in Christ, you're going to compromise and settle for a level of defeat. I wish I could be nice. I wish I could teach, you know, 5 points here. And this is for me. This is for me because there's people out there that need to be born again. And I need, for their sake, to be sanctified and walk in the fullness of it. Whatever testimony you're dealing with, man up. Man up. I want to show you this. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Look what Paul has to say about this to the Corinthian church. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at what he says. Come on, Paul. Help us here, Paul. I want to hear this wisdom, Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. And he said unto me, so in my Bible, so Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are all red letters because it is Jesus speaking. When you start getting into, you know, other than maybe the book of Revelation, you start hearing Jesus speaking again. And I have one of those Bibles that has the red letters when Jesus is speaking. So here we are in the book of Corinthians, and I've got red letters. So this is Jesus actually speaking to Paul. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. If you'll bring this up for me on the Amplified, I want to show you what this says. I know we have it up here on the Amplified in verse 9. Look what he says. But he said to me, my grace, My favor and loving kindness and mercy is enough for you, sufficient against any danger, and enables you to bear the trouble manfully. For my strength and power are made perfect, fulfilled and completed, and show themselves most effective in your weakness. Therefore, I will all the more gladly glory in my weakness and infirmities, that the strength and power of Christ the Messiah may rest, yes, may pitch a tent over and dwell upon me. So for the sake of Christ, I am well pleased and take pleasure in infirmities, insults, hardships, persecutions, perplexities, and distresses. For when I am weak in human strength, then I am truly strong, able, powerful in divine strength. Paul, you mean to tell me that in trial, tribulation, persecutions, slanderings, everything that he listed, you rejoice in those things? Yes. Because my human ability and natural resources have failed me. I've got no other choice than to step into the sanctification that you promised. I've tried doing everything. I've been attacked, perplexities, tribulations, trials. I've gone through it all. I tried in my human efforts to bear up under these things, and I've fallen short. I have no choice but to rely on your strength. And I rejoice because I've seen this time and time and time and time again, that when I'm weak, I realize there's a strength based on the separation and you on the inside of me, that I've become strong. I wouldn't have known that. I'm not enjoying trial. I'm not enjoying persecution, slanderings, tribulations. But when I happen to sink down into that, I've seen you in a way that I've never seen you before. I understand you in a way that I've never understood you. Doom and failure was on my doorstep, but there was a strength on the inside of me. I'm not rejoicing at the trial. I'm rejoicing at the greater one on the inside of me, that through the trial, when my human resources and arm of the flesh have been exhausted, I have no other choice but to believe you. Amen. To stand on the fact that I've been separated by you. Paul was in that position. It says to bear up manfully, right in the face of it, right in the midst of the darkness, right in the midst of the slander, when someone's cussing you out, swearing at you, circumstance in life has crippled you to it seems like you can't even move. Right in the midst of it, there's a strength and a manliness that girds itself up on the inside of you in the greater one. I've tried doing everything, but no. I'm going to man up under this thing, and I'm going to see God. I'm not running for relief. I'm running for the one that gave me his word. I'm running for the healer. I'm running for the strengthener. I'm running for the standby. I'm running for those things because I've tried every pill. I've put in every potion and remedy. I've tried everything that I could do. Hey, if you're dealing with something physically, see a doctor. I'm not saying that. But there's limitations to those things. And sometimes we would rather take the pill than the responsibility of believing God. Let the pill do the work. And I'm not diminishing that. Hey, if you're on pills, take the pills. But I'm saying release your faith in the midst of those things, because there's a strength there on the inside of you that will help get you through with or without medication. Hey, we're not against medical science and doctors and stuff like that. By all means, you have an ache or you have something you're going through, see a doctor. My goodness, that's just wisdom to do that. But not apart from recognizing who you are, because life will bring you to a place of weakness. Man up under those things. I want to show you over in Luke chapter 13. I want to show you one thing, this last passage, and then we're going to close. I'm fixing to close, what does that mean? Nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Luke chapter 13. I want to show you this because this is how Jesus dealt with things when he was here. You know this story. Luke chapter 13, verse 10. He was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called to her, or called her unto him and said, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, "There are 6 days in which men ought to work, in them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day." The Lord then answered him and said, "Thou hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed of this bond on the Sabbath day?" And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed. And all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. So here was this woman, had a spirit of infirmity, and she was bowed over like this. Now, to the woman's defense, she had this spirit of infirmity 18 years. However, she was extremely good at finding lost contacts in backs of earrings. Oh, look, a quarter. Okay, got to bring some in all this pounding. We got to bring some humor and everything. But she had a spirit of infirmity, and she was bowed over. So Jesus went over and healed her, made her straight. And the religious folks, the church folks, freaked out. She was in the synagogue amongst other people. So he called them hypocrites. In verse 16, he says, "Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, who Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" You know what delivered this woman? Ought. Ought. There's a way things should be. There's a way things ought to be. Jesus said that. Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, that's been bound low these 18 years, be loosed of their plague? She's been separated. She was not born again like we are. She was under the Old Testament, Old Covenant, according to the covenant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, was enough to distinguish a separation in God's mind, that when Jesus, there was a room full of people like this, he said, wait a second. Are you a daughter of Abraham? Are you a sanctified one? Wait a second. You've been separated. You've been set apart. Ought you not be healed? Get over here. And immediately she was made straight. Pick and choose amongst everybody. When you have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, ought you not be healed? Ought you not be, you who have been broke, lo, these 18 years, ought you not be loosed of that plague? That have been sick these 18 years, ought you not be loosed of that infirmity? That have been in depression, lo, these 18 years, ought you not have joy and peace as your reality? You've been separated. Jesus looked out amongst the people. He's like, wait. There's a separated one right there. I'm going to deal with her according to her separation. Woman, come up here. Be loosed of your plague. Everybody freaked out of their heads because it wasn't the natural course of this world. We watched this woman for 18 years waddle in this thing. This, I don't know her other than this. This is her. Bent over, cripple Sally or whatever. Blind Bartimaeus, they were all identified by their infirmity. If your name's Sally in here, I'm not coming at you or anything like that. I'm just saying. I know you anything other than this until Jesus showed up and said, wait a second, you've been separated. Why are you living like this? Straighten up in Jesus' name. There's a difference. You are different. You've been separated. The lock can cast and fall on everybody else. Not you. You're different. You're separated. You have the promise backed by the blood of Jesus to walk free and liberated in those things as righteous, as holy, that we can move forward and win this world. That's what he was saying. Based on covenant alone, you've been separated. Ought not this woman being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound low these 18 years, be a Lucifer plague on the Sabbath? If you can't go to church and get healed, where can you go? Well, let's wait till Monday. Yeah, I know she's separated right now. Jesus wouldn't deal with it. I know I'm being politically incorrect, Jesus saying, because it is the Sabbath, but I can't not deal with this. There's a way that things ought to be. This ain't it. This ain't it. Man up. There's a way that my life should be right now. This ain't it. I've been dealing with this low these 18 years. This ain't it. I've seen better. This is not it. This is not my lot. I've been separated. So I'm going to position myself unequally yoked from the world, and I'm going to stand sanctified because he made me sanctified. There's a way things ought to be in the life of every believer. And I'm telling you, the word of God, the promises of God are at your disposal. Yes. The devil hates you. There's going to be trial and tribulation. You're going to be resisted on every side. We could go into verses. We even made a song about it. I'm pressed but not crushed, persecuted, not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. You know, that scripture, you remember there was that song years ago with that? Paul, you know, railings, beatings, shipwrecks. Here he says, but I rejoice in those things because I found God. And I'm not glorifying the circumstance. I'm getting a better revelation that I've been separated. And when I've been pushed and beaten and crippled to the place of weakness, I realize there's a strength on the inside of me that validates my sanctification. I'm telling you, this day and time, push back. Push back. Man up. You are different. You are separated unto God. People are like, well, you know, I'm just born again. I don't really know how to pray. It's a miracle if I make it to church once a month. It's a miracle, you know. I'm not, you know, knowledgeable like you. Get the word of God and know that God has dealt with you according to how he has made and recreated you, and he will deal with you according to your sanctification, whether you know it or not. And so my purpose here today was to bring us into that knowledge. We're different, we're separated, and it's time the church starts acting like it. And we can start getting results here in this earth. We are people of stability because of the greater one. We are people of healing because of the greater one. We are the people of prosperity and steadfastness and courage and strength and boldness. We're not the mamby-pambies that this world's trying to make the Christian church, and the Christian church, unfortunately, has been fueling that fire. We're making a difference, guys. We're making a difference. Praise the Lord. I don't know if you were helped here today or not, but glory to God. It preaches me happy. It's a blessing to me. And praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we just bless you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that, Father, even as Jesus prayed for his disciples, you said that you gave them the word, and the word, the world will hate them because of the word. That word hate is a strong word, but Father, we know that there is resistance and that we are ambassadors as your children here on this earth. That we're here to enforce the will of God in our lives and to penetrate this world with the light of the gospel. Father, we thank you that you sent Jesus Christ to die that we could not only be born again, but that we could be separated, sanctified, purified, made holy, consecrated unto you, that there will be a drastic night and day difference between us and the course of this world. And so, Father, we embrace that sanctification. We embrace the fact that even though we may go through trials, tribulations, that we can do it with joy, because we will greater and further understand the strength of you in us. Father, we love you and we praise you. With all heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe you're here today. You hear a message like this, you're like, oh man, I know that those born again people, through Jesus Christ are sanctified, they're set apart. Well, maybe you're here and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you've never asked Him into your heart to be born again and made a new creation to be sanctified. Well, you say, well, how do I do that? Well, the Bible is so good to instruct us how to be born again. Romans 10:9, it says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. Verse 13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's that easy to come before the Lord and say, Father, hey, I don't know if I'm born again. I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know that if I were to die right now, if I would go to hell. I need Jesus. All it says is to come for, confess Him as your Lord, and you'll be born again. So with all heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to give an opportunity to do that today. If you're here today, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I'll tell you this. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to have you come down forward. I'm not going to make you stand up, anything like that. But right there in your seat, all heads are bowed and eyes closed. If you know that you need to be born again and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, all I'm going to ask you to do is lift your hand. As soon as I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down, and then we will all pray as a congregation, and you can accept Jesus as your Lord right there in your seat. Is there anyone here today that has never made Jesus the Lord of their life? Can I see your hand? I just want to know who I'm praying for. I see that hand. You can put it down. Is there anybody else that's never made Jesus the Lord of their life, and today's the day that you want to accept Jesus as your Lord? People have often said sometimes in the world, they say, if God was so good, why does He send people to hell? God never sends anybody to hell. Through the sin nature being born in this world, we're automatically going to hell. He sent Jesus so that you wouldn't have to. And it comes by accepting Him as your Lord. Is there anyone else before we pray? Well, praise the Lord. We're going to pray this prayer. Everybody, go ahead and repeat after me. For the one that raised their hand, just repeat these words and just be sincere about it. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You that Jesus Christ is Lord. I accept You now as my Lord and Savior. Wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Glory to God. Amen. The angels are rejoicing. We're rejoicing too, praise God, when someone repents and comes to the Lord. Amen. Did anybody get anything here today? Amen. The word's good. It's our help. It's the truth that sets us free. Why don't we go ahead and stand? Let's love on the Lord for a minute before we dismiss. Father, we bless You. We thank You. We glorify You. We thank You that we're sanctified unto You. And Father, we leave changed here today, being a doer of Your word. In Jesus' name. And everyone shouted, amen. Glory to God. You are dismissed.